Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and today my guest is retired Major Eric Domeniani. I got the name right. First try. That was awesome. He's a retired Marine Corps veteran and the CEO and founder of Fior Scotch, the only Fior. Sorry, I got that one wrong. I got the last name right.
Yeah.
I got the name of the company wrong. So he's here to talk about his journey, his experience, kind of getting in and out of the Marine Corps, and you know, kind of what led him to where he is today, and things like that, and hopefully serve as a roadmap for some other folks who are looking to carve their own path going forward. So before we get into everything here, Eric, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Tell us a little bit about your time in the Marine Corps. What was your experience like? What everyone has different experiences, right? People fitting in or not fitting in within the Marine Corps, or in the culture and all that kind of stuff. Tell us about your experiences.
Well, if I could describe, and I've done this before, there was what is it like to go through? I went through OCS, so I came in as an officer. So you have to understand, like to me, if you ask, like, what is it like to go through OCS? It's like going to prison. You have a bunch of alpha males, aggressive, short haircuts, all dressed the same, eating probably the same food from all over the United States. And you're forced to be in a situation where you all got to, like, I won't say work together, but you're all going to be with one another. And when you first walk in, someone like me, I had no experience. Most of the people in my officers boot camp that I went through, they were like repeat offenders, if you will. These are guys who were, they had 3 years in the Marine Corps, 5 years. They were already sergeants. They've already been through. They know the rules. They know, all this stuff. Or their fathers were criminals, AKA my father's a general, my father's a colonel. And then there was like this small handful of like me, like another New Yorker, we were like sitting there like, we're like completely clueless. And when you walk in, when you first get introduced, just like prison, you have to choose like a crew to roll with. if you're like prior enlisted, that's like one crew. Then you have like either the black guys or the white guys or the Hispanic guys, whatever it is, they have their own little. The number one crew was, which was a shock to me, was delineated by religion. That was a crazy one. It was like you're either Protestant, and that includes Lutheran, Mormon, and then Catholic. And then if you weren't, like if you were like not religious, you just weren't going to make it. You had no crew to roll with. You were getting like attacked in the shower. I mean, that's not real. I mean, we're talking prison. You know, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yes, but you just were like alone and afraid, and then you had like me, I walk in. I'm back home. I'm Billy Badass. I was on the track team. I did do martial arts since I was a kid. I'm ripped. I went to an Ivy League school. I went to NYU. And then you go and then you realize you're just normal.
Yeah.
It was like I had guys who went to MIT. They were supposed to build a twice scale or three times scale, like remote control dragonfly. A guy who went to Yale or Harvard who majored in lying. A dude was a marathon runner. We had a guy who was an Olympian. We had like three Olympians, I was like, wow, this is like just, and I was out of my element because number one, I had no prior military experience. And when you walk in and they're singing the Marine Corps hymn and I'm there like, what? my recruiter did not prepare me for this at all.
Right.
He just said, oh, you're, you fit because I'm very ethnically diverse. Let's just say. So I fit every check in the box that he needed. We need a black guy or we need a, oh my God, you have, we're just sending you in. So I had no clue what the Marine Corps hymn was. I didn't know how to spell like phonetically, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta. I was clueless with that. I didn't know who Chesty Puller was and all of the other guys. Like 88% of the first time I went through OCS were all prior enlisted. And they were like, you don't belong here. You shouldn't be here. You should like, how could you be an officer if you don't have any prior experience? It was horrible. It was like, it was, and And then as an athlete, you're a specialist. And the Marine Corps needs generalists. Oh, you're a bodybuilder? You can't run. Oh, you're a marathon runner? You don't have upper body strength. Oh, you're like, and me, I was a sprinter. But I need to eat like 6 to 8 times a day.
Sure.
That's a good one. Let's see how that works. I need to sleep 9 hours or 8 and stretch. No, you're not getting back. You know, right. So the second time I went, I lasted 4 days before graduation, and I got sent back home for a lack of humility and improving too much physically. There was like a rope. I'm like, I've never seen a rope before. I could climb a fence. I can go through concertina wire, you know, but at the very beginning, you've already highlighted or skylined yourself because, you know, how come you don't know? I was born the same day as the Marine Corps birthday.
Okay.
So then they're like, you know, you don't even know. You're like, your birthday is November 10th? And I was like, ISR instructor's like, you don't even know what day is, you know. So I've already looked like an idiot on the first day. I wasn't making it through. Well, right. You have to find a reason to get rid of me. And, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I got a bad attitude. So I was like, screw all you guys. Second time I went through, I walked through. It was like, I changed my workouts, you know, because you have to realize that the people are the first time, these prime enlisted guys for several years, like, well, I'm sprinting and going up hills and boxing. These guys are doing a 3 mile run. They're doing pull-ups and they're doing sit-ups and push-ups and that's it. And that's what the Marine Corps needs for, you know, OCS.
Yeah.
But but at the end of the day, I did not fit in all. It was just it was a culture shock for me. And it wasn't the physics, it was just you come from the most, you know, as a New Yorker, you come from the most, you know, ethnically diverse or culturally, you know, diverse county in the world, which I did. And then you join the Marine Corps and then you're like, you know, the people are looking at you. It's like, you had a funny last name, Dominion. What kind of name is that? You know, you're like, and everyone is like Smith. You know,
right.
It's like
Jones, you know,
and even I couldn't even relate to the black guys in, you know, because I'm mixed. I couldn't even relate to the black guys in the Marine Corps because they're all from like Alabama,
yeah,
you know, right. And they're like grits. You don't eat grits, you know, like, I don't know what grits are. You know, so it was like, you know, the Jetsons going to the Flintstones. That's what I felt like. You know,
yeah,
so.
You check your ego at the door. I think it's, and I think that's probably across, you know, a lot of the branches. You know, I haven't obviously had experience in all of them. I was Army, but yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Okay, that's how this conversation's going to go. It's fine. As long as we set the ground rules off, you know, at the beginning, that's cool. No, but it's seriously, like, you go in there. I remember in my basic training, we had guys who were, you know, pretty athletic, but it's like not the right kind of athletic. You know, you got to be Army athletic, like what the Army is looking for. You got to be strong and you got to be fast and you got to be, you know, flexible and agile, and you got to do all these different things. So being a specialist, like you said, at any one of those things, being really fast, like a sprinter, or being a bodybuilder and being really strong, those aren't good for, no, as far as they're concerned, right?
The other one that's not being good is being a New Yorker. Because I always heard rumors that they target New Yorkers, and it's true. I've had some of the drill instructors or the sergeant instructors who wound up working for me later on, years later, and they admit, yeah, we pick on New Yorkers. You guys are most likely to swing at us. You have a bad attitude. And it's like, I thought that when I went through OCS, they wanted you to be tough.
Right.
It like you know, so when they accuse me of something, I'm like, who the hell do you think you're? And no.
Wrong answer.
You're right. You're wrong.
Yep.
You know, you're late. No, I wasn't. I was here. I was waiting by the door. No, you're late.
Right. Yeah. You just accept it and take the punishment and move
and
on.
And I couldn't do that. That was my biggest. When they said, like, you did something that you didn't do, or you didn't do something that you did do, I was not having it.
Yeah, right.
That
right.
bit me in the butt the first time around. So,
how did this experience? So, I'm glad we got to talk about this because, you know, it was one of those things you had to overcome, right? And sounds like you did. You know, you had some success. You at least got through OCS, anyways, right?
Right. I made it through OCS. Yes.
Right. So it was more successful the second time around than it was first.
Well, yeah, it was easy.
Yeah, exactly. So. How did that change your mindset at all? Like, it's as far as like, this is what this job is going to require, is to be, you know, kind of more conforming to the Marine Corps way of life, right?
after OCS, we go through a thing called TBS. And it's like a pre-infantry basic officer development course.
Okay.
And I went through, and again, I was out of my element. I wasn't Southern. When I went through OCS, there was a guy, he basically referred to the Marine Corps as Unified Southern Male Christians, something like that, you know? And I was like, okay, whatever. And there was a lot of truth to it. I remember, this is just my experience. I'm not saying the whole Marine Corps is like that. So I get the TBS, and I couldn't believe some of the things that I heard and saw, you know? And it's not bad. These are just individuals. Like, I had this one very, very Southern woman who hated Yankees, just hated us. No, oh my God, I can't believe what Sherman did when he, I'm like, do you understand that your side won? Me and you wouldn't be talking right now.
Right.
You know, like, and just, look at you, you're dressing like you're going to a disco. And I'm wearing like shoes and, you know, flax. And you know, these guys are wearing khaki pants and brown shoes with a braided belt with a collared shirt. Like, you know, to, and you know, I've had this haircut. I mean, you can call it a Marine Corps haircut. I've had this haircut since I was like 13 years old. So my haircut really didn't change.
Right.
But, the, you know, having to like, you know, people didn't know what a diner was. People, you know, putting ranch on pizza, not being it, not knowing how to fold a slice of pizza in half, eating things like let's go out for Italian food. And they would be like, okay, let's go to Olive Garden. And I'm like, no.
I said, oh.
You know, so it was, again, it was a huge, huge culture shock for me.
Yeah, right.
Then I hit the fleet. So that was the part where I kind of realized that you have to fit in to a crew again. It reinforced that. And then I joined, then I hit the fleet, and that was the kick between the legs. I'll just say, like, I remember when I was a company commander, we all checked in the same time we got a new battalion commander. And they're the first guy's father was a general. The second guy's father was our battalion commander's old battalion commander when he was a lieutenant. The third guy went to the academy. His two brothers went to the academy and his father went to the academy. And then there's me. And that was, and I just shook my head. Oh, no, it ain't gonna be. Anything that can go wrong was my fault. Thing. And I'll never forget my boss yelling at me another time and, you know, telling me that how I'm messed up. I don't know what's going on with this. And then I'm smiling. It's like, you don't need it. And I'm going to combine the stories to make it short because it happened throughout my whole career.
Sure, sure.
You don't even take your job seriously. Look at you. You're smiling. And I'm like, and he's like, that wasn't you. That was you, right? I'm like, that wasn't me. Bravo Company. That's, you know, Alpha Company's in the field today, not me. But do you want me to go get the general son, so you can go yell at him the way you were yelling at me?
At my office.
So I still maintain my New York go F yourself attitude. If you will, I'm not going to admit I'm wrong when I'm right. And then I would also learn many times throughout my career, I've been, you know, accused of this, accused of that, blah, blah, you know, just because if the boss, he just sees it. He doesn't know, you know, in the boss's defense, he only knows what he saw. He didn't see what happened behind the closed doors or, you know, I had one time, wrong brown guy, you know, they were not, there was literally, it's not that my boss was racist or anything like that. There was just two guys of color in the same location. So it had to be me. And, you know, I found out something. Your boss is going to yell at you and he'll tell you how you're all messed up. And I would sit there and I'm like, let him yell. And I do the same thing. You got the wrong guy. And then I proved that he was wrong in front of everyone. If you're going to, you know, pull me out and try to like, you know, treat me like garbage in front of everyone, I'm going to respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. And then what happens the next week? He tries to get you for something else. And you're like, nope. Try to get you for something else. And sooner or later, everyone hates you. You know, because it's like, you know, he tells his assistant, oh, Dominiani's always like fighting me. Well, stop accusing me. Why don't you ask me first, like all the other guys? You know, why don't you ask me first if I did this? And I'll tell you yay or nay. But you jumped in my throat, blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm still a New Yorker. It's in my bloodstream. If I'm right, I'm right. But if you're right, you're wrong.
Right.
So that was my big, I kept my New Yorker attitude for 20 years. The one thing I did learn, the other part when I hit the fleet, was I had in two occasions. One was a senior enlisted of a color. He was black. And the other one was, this is a great one. He no one knew that he was Jewish, except for me, because I could hear the accent, the last name. I picked up on it, like, he's like, you know, from my neighborhood. Yeah. And in both those cases, they were like, hey, just to let you know, you need to keep track of every email, save every email, never say anything unless you have it recorded, you have witnesses, and we're not having this conversation. And I was like, okay, you know, it was a CYA. And that, those two guys, one was a captain, the other one was a first sergeant, had saved my, if I didn't have those, that conversation with those two Marines, I would have probably been kicked out for being 5 minutes late when I was really 5 minutes early. I kept track of everything, and that's what saved my career. So that was my experience in the Marine Corps.
For sure.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm, you know, I always say this, like, everyone has different experiences. And so, you know, part of the reason why I ask these questions, and people might wonder, like, in the beginning of these episodes, whenever I have a veteran on the show, I always ask, like, you know, what was your experience like in the, you know, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Navy, you know, the Army, you know, whatever branch you're in, I always ask, you know, what was your experiences like? Because everyone had different experiences, and it kind of helps frame the kind of the narrative of why are you the way that you are? You know, like, what's going on? You know, what makes you tick? Why did you end up, you know, getting out when you did? When, why did you end up doing the thing that you're doing, you know, after you got out and all that kind of stuff? So, you know, I love asking those types of questions. But so one of the things I want to get into is your company now, and share with us a little bit of, you know, kind of what got you into starting your business, and, you know, why Scotch, and maybe some challenges, obstacles, and maybe, you know, what were some lessons learned from the Marine Corps that helped you along the way, or maybe held you back a little?
Okay, cool. You said, why Scotch? To quote Ludo Glutarski from Animal House, why not? it goes with the Marine Corps. This is something, the Marine Corps has this unique way of finding something that makes you happy and destroying it. Like, you know, oh, you like to play guitar? You can bring a guitar into the back. So I was stationed, you know, I wanted to be a chef my whole life. Food is very, very important to me. It goes with my genetic makeup. I'm half Italian, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I had spent a lot of time, considerable time in the Caribbean. I knew everything about rum. Every island that make rum, man, I tell you, I know everything about rum. And unfortunately, when you're a Yankee like myself, you know, you don't fit in again in some places. So I was always getting stationed like Lejeune, you know, 29 Palms, California, the middle of the desert. And you're just like, can you just station me someplace with, I don't know, food, women, something to do on the weekend? Like, oh, we'll send you to Pendleton, you know, San Diego, but your stuff will be there. You're going to be in Okinawa on the base where there's no women. There's nothing to do with work. So all I did was work out, like, all the time in the Marine Corps, you know. Anyway, so I get to, I'm in 29 Palms for the second time. I'm in between deployments, Iraq and Afghanistan. And on the weekends, like, my brother, a lot of my friends from back home, my friends from the Marine Corps who got out, they all lived on the West Coast. And so I'd go to LA like almost every weekend just to get away from the 120 degree weather, from the McDonald's, all the, 'cause that's the best they had to offer in the area. There's nothing there. So I would drive out there, you know, my motorcycle, just chill with them on the weekends and come back. I was in a bar, I think it was called Bordner's or something like that. I really think that was an interview. We were all like, it was like, it was a night where it's like two friends were here and then they were going to leave and another friend was going to come in and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we all went out to this bar and some guy was like, hey, are you guys veterans? You guys in the military? And they all went to me and like one guy was, you know, got out, but I was the only active duty guy in that group that at that moment. And this guy offered to buy me a drink and, you know, I'll be joking. I'm not going to be, I'm going to be completely honest. I thought he was hitting on me, you know, because, you know, he's, you know, just, you know, like, you know, oh, can I buy you a drink? And I was like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever, I don't care. You know, that means I'm in shape, I'm good looking, you know, there we go. And then I realized he was straight because he was playing with me because he gave me like the most disgusting drink I've ever had in my life. It was like Malort or something. I just can't. I don't know how people drink that. And I was like, this. So now I'm in a bad mood because you have to understand that Lejeune, it was, wow, there was like nothing to do there. I mean, outside of inbreeding, and maybe Bassmasters and NASCAR, there was like absolutely nothing I could find. There was no women, no good food, no nothing. You know, everything come with fries. You know, I just couldn't. And then I was in 29 Palms, where that was, you know, at least it was the center of the middle of nowhere, but the center of everything. You know, you had to leave there on the weekends. And I'm just like, God, you know, I can't get a good haircut. I can't get this. Every time I ask for a cheeseburger, they give me a slice of pizza. I'm like, can't I just for once as a paying customer, get what I want? Because on a military base, can I have a haircut that's not crooked this time? No, and there's nothing you can do because the areas outside of town just have to be a little bit better than what you get on base.
Right.
And what you get on base is garbage. So, it's like...
It's not much better. Yeah.
You get Domino's on base, but you get pizza on out in town,
Yeah, right.
So you're like, so I'm in a bad mood and I'm always a designated driver. I didn't really drink, anything. But anyway, I didn't drink for that time. So my buddy's like, dude, we're driving. Just, you're in a bad mood. We got you. So we went bar hopping and then we went to this place in I can't remember the name. Maybe it was Long Beach area, Huntington Beach, I think it was. And I was like, what do you have for rum, man? And all he had was well, he just had well, the basic generic. I'm like, I think it's California. They're not rum drinkers.
Right.
And I was like, that's all you have? And he's like, dude, you're in a scotch bar or whiskey bar. What? And he goes, look up. And it's like all these scotches and whiskeys. I was like, wow. And I know nothing, about this. I'm about 35 years old at this time, which is like, that's the age where you really start drinking scotches and whiskeys and appreciating them. So sure. I was like, hey, teach me. And he's like, what? I was like, teach me. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, listen, I know nothing. I'm an aspiring chef. I know rums. I know Italian. I know this. I know that. I know nothing about scotches. I go, just don't rip me off. I threw my Navy Fed card on the table. And he's like, you really want to learn? Yeah. And he gave me like this omokase. Okay, you have to drink this with that. And blah, 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 and put some club soda in here, put water, but this one I like neat. This is from the Highland. This is from the Space Side. This is smoky, but this is peaty. There's a big difference, And he was just so happy to teach me. Like, he was just like, I got a guy who's actually interested. And the dude was like half Irish, half Scottish or something like that. So he was like, oh, yeah. So this is like my culture, And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
I got the buck. And after that, my rum collection became a scotch collection, the scotch and whiskey collection. And I eventually moved back to Miami, and that's when I really, really started it. And then, I make my own meat. I make my own, sausage, salami. I've made my own cheese. I make my own ice cream. I make just about everything. So it's just an inevitability that after, a couple of years after experimenting with scotches and whiskeys, that I was going to try to make the Dominiani house blend. For my friends, because I heard about this thing called the legacy bottle, the infinity bottle. And I started taking some of the scotches, and you fail the first time, you fail like, oh, CS, I failed the first time. But then I made a blend that I thought was like, wow, this is great. And I had a couple of Marines over, one sailor, submariner, and then I busted open. I was like, all right, guys, this is it, and they're like, let's do this. So we have dinner parties at my house. We smoke cigars, barbecue, and I poured them all, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And I was like, great. And then, you notice the bottle is doing this. I'm not adding. I was like, I don't want to add anything else to it because, and I'm thinking like, okay, I'll just do another bottle next time. When we're done, I'll just experiment again. But I got to be honest, I really, really liked what I had. And I'm not going to say I'm a scotch, especially at the time I wasn't, I was an enthusiast. But I really didn't know much about it. So I don't know if it was there or a Campbelltown or there was a Highland or a Space. Was there a blend that tasted like this? So I was like, man, this is getting lower. I'm like, there's got to be a way to duplicate this. And the inspiration came from my old boss, Colonel Bolaño. I'll give him props. He gets his own cigars made. He's like, hey, I want a wrapper. I want this gauge with this fill with this wrapper. I want, Honduran cigar, et cetera, et cetera. And my uncle Luciano, who gets his own wine made, he calls up California. And he's like, I want a 23% Cabernet and a 34. And he gets like a couple of cases mailed to him. So it's great. Way to go. So then I got this, hey, wait a minute. My buddy, who I see every quarter, we went to college together. He's in the liquor business. He used to own Hypnotic. His father was, he used to own Finlandia or something like that. So I'm like, Jim, legendist, So I call him up. And I was like, Jim, he was still in the alcohol business, and he's like, I don't know, do you still cook? Because we only talk about, at the time, we never really talked business. It was always like, see, remember that time we got drunk in college and, there was this fight, and there was that girl and blah, 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 blah. So we talk about it, and he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm like, hey, and I explain the situation. Is there a way that you can make me like a couple of cases? You know, I'm looking at, you know, X amount of cases a year, you know, maybe twice a year. And, you know, look, I'm going to Scotland in a couple of months. And, you know, it would be great if you can, you know, bring this up there, or, you know, here's, I'll save the sample and then, you know, make some, you know, see if they can reproduce this. So I go, I get, you know, I don't really know all the, you know, because I was measuring like this, two fingers of this, three fingers of this, four fingers of this. So it wasn't like a perfect science on that one. He's like,
yeah, nothing precise with that, right?
Exactly. Cork it, and I'll bring it up. So I honestly thought that he drank it, or, you know, because it's not like it happened in one day. I thought he forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to like push him because he's a good friend. I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on? So months have passed, and I've actually seen him throughout this time period. And he's like, hey, we need to talk. Oh, I got to go. Boom. And I was like, that sucks. So I figured I lost it. And then later on, it's like, you know, the
check comes in. Bill comes in. I wasn't cheap.
I got six cases. Well, actually, sorry. He says, we had three samplers. And he goes, which one do you like the most? And then I go, hey, I really, really like this one, the middle one, because like the military, the first one is okay. The second one is the one you want. The third one is eh. So yeah, same right. thing. And he's never been in the military. The second one was exactly what I wanted. And I will say, I can't tell you if it was 100% like what I created, but I said, this is the one I like the most. And he said, that's the closest that they came to duplicating what you gave me. And I was like, I want six cases of this twice a year. He's like, cool, not a problem. So he goes, and again, more months passed. And then the next thing you know, he comes up and hears the cases, and I crack it open with my buddies, Marines. I think the sailor was with us also that day, and they loved it. And one of them doesn't even drink. He's like, this is absolutely phenomenal. And so they loved it. And then they're like, hey, bro, you know, you need to let me get a bottle. And I was like, I can't give you, this is all I have. He was like, yo, let me buy a bottle. I'm like, I didn't charge you for dinner. I'm not charging you for the bottle. So they're like, that was a Moreno. And so like the next day, it was like two of my buddies of mine. And they were like, yo, bro, you really need to get this out there. Like, you know, for 48 hours, these guys are calling me up. Yo, I'm telling you, you got some good stuff, bro. You really need to get this out there. And that's exactly how they talk. That's not an exaggeration. That's how they speak. Bro, another guy, bro, you need to get it from Miami. You need to get this out there, man. I'd buy a bottle and I don't even drink. So I contacted my buddy, Jim, again. And I was like, hey, what did you think? He's like, oh, I have a bottle here right now. It's really good stuff. And I was like, good. I'm glad that I paid for your, you know.
Your enjoyment.
Exactly. I was like, if I, you know, if I wanted to get this out there, if I wanted to, you know, capitalize on this, you know, on adventure, how would I do that? Stomp, stomp, stomp. He's like, well, you need to have like someone who knows the business, AKA me, him. You know, I think that it's good enough. You know, well, would you buy this? He's like, yeah, I think that people would buy this, you know. And so we started talking, and, you know, several years later, here we are now, you know, six awards later. More now, actually, six awards, you know, we're on our, about to start a third round. I wouldn't be here without her. You know, I can make a great product. I just don't know the business aspect, and I'm learning every day from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, maybe just taking this back from, you know, military experience, kind of that humbling experience when you walked into OCS and it's like, well, I really don't know shit about anything that's going on here, right? But you got to learn, right? Yeah. And eventually you kind of catch up to, you know, whatever it is that that you need to learn, and now, you know, here you are running a successful business off of something that just by chance you happen to walk into a whiskey bar or a scotch bar, you know, whatever. And had you not done that, you know, would we even be sitting here having this conversation about what you're doing right now, you know? And and would you have even been exposed to it in the way that you did? So
I owe it all to the guy who gave me the Malort.
Yeah.
Bad rune.
You know, and so it's, but you have that humbling experience. It's like, okay, look, I don't know everything there is to know about this. Let me take some time to learn. Let me find the right people to help me learn, you know, somebody who's already in the business and can, you know, help me get ahead, learn the ins and outs, maybe people who've already made the mistakes that I'm about to make so that they can kind of help steer me away and be like, hey, don't do it that way because of this, and so that they teach you, and you get to learn, you know, what's good, what's not, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, so it's a big leap though, from being an enthusiast to starting your own business, right? Huge leap. I know you had some buddies who were telling you, hey, you know, you should get this out there. What was it for you that like the light bulb moment maybe that was like, yeah, this is a thing I can actually sell and actually be successful with?
It was those two Marines more than anything. Okay. I know when I cooked, I make an amazing carbonara. When I cook some things, like my friends in the Marine Corps, you know, they used to always complain, oh, we can't take you out to dinner. Every time we take you out to dinner, you always complain about the food. I go, what happens when I bring you out to dinner? They're like, oh, it's the bomb. You know, so I know what good food is. You know, I have a palate. That's all I have. And I make probably one of the best carbonaras you'll ever eat, you know, but I don't know how to sell it. You know, that's the thing. I didn't know anything about the business aspect, whether it was the restaurant business. I've designed menus, believe it or not. I've walked into like the old club and told them you need to change this. You know, I've given advice to chefs and cooks and stuff like that. But, you know, this is large scale. You know, this is, you know, my money. This is, you know, my business. This is my reputation. You know, my name is not literally on the bottle. If you look at the back of the bottle, my name is on the bottle. So, you know, the biggest thing was, it was Laz, those two Marines, Laz and Moreno. They're the ones who really lit the fire under my butt, because they've come over and they've said, hey, man, this is some really good chow. This is my boy Don. Damn, the boy Don, you can cook, yo, you know, and that's just the way these guys are. But it didn't hit me till I got the repeat calls from them, where they were like, bro, I'm serious. You need to, you know, and I was like, okay, the first time I'm like, yeah, I don't have a good product. It's just for me and my family. That's, you know, and my boys when they come over. But when that phone keeps ringing, then you're like, whoa, maybe I have a product that's a lot better than I thought. And, you know, I owe that all to them.
Yeah, for sure. And when you get that initial feedback from someone, a lot of times people will do that where they'll just be like, oh yeah, this is good. And, you know, just kind of, you know, puff up your ego or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, this is pretty good stuff. But they really don't care if they ever have it again, you know, in a lot of cases, right? They may just be, you know, trying to be nice and supportive and all that kind of stuff. But to your point, when you get that, those repeat phone calls or, you know, they're coming back over and like, hey, do you got any more of that, the good stuff, you know?
Well, yeah. Actually, my house is different. Because the people who eat over at my house have eaten over enough times where they're comfortable to say, ah, bro, like this is dry, like the lamb. And people are like, when you have the new comes to my house, I'm like, how can you say that the food wasn't good? He invited you. And I'm like, no, he's right. He's absolutely right. Because they've come over enough. So I take what they say, you know, as like, you know, doctrine, if you will. You know, I actually believe. They're, when my friends come over and they say, yo, this is the bomb. I know it is because they've had like, you know, my carbonara the first time, the second time. Well, this is the best carbonara I've eaten. This is better than your third or your fifth time. So when they said that, that's another reason why. I don't want BS. If it sucks, you need to let me know it sucks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will keep serving crappy food.
That's true. That's right? true. And then they're not going to be coming over quite as often.
Exactly. Right? So yeah, when they said that, there is like a bit of credibility issue.
Yeah. That's a good, you know, kind of context to have with that, because that's the kind of people you want to surround yourself with, especially if you're about to go investing your reputation, your money, your time, energy, resources, whatever it is that you're investing into a business venture. You don't want yes men kind of, oh yeah, for sure, it's great, you know, it's wonderful. You want someone who's going to let you know, hey, it sucks, or if it's great, it's great, but they're you know that they're telling you the truth. They're not just trying to spare your feelings or anything like that. You know, a lot of times that'll happen in kind of social environments where people will do that, but it's great that you can identify the fact that no, that's not who these people are. They actually will tell me if it sucks, you know.
And one of the please excuse me for jumping in. This reminds me of an experience I had in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I had a boss who became a general. He's out now. I loved working for him. And he used to come up to me and he's like, and I'm just going to come up with a random situation. Hey, D, what do you think we should do? Should we go left or right? And I was like, sir, I think we should go left. And he's like, okay, but here's the reason why we should go right. And I'm like, what do you think now? I'm like, we should go left. And for this reason, this reason, this reason, and this reason. And he was like, okay, but here's another reason why I think we should go right. And I'm like, okay, so now what do you think? I'm like, we should still go left. And then we would go back and forth. And I finally would say, sir, my job is not to agree or disagree with you. My job is to advise you, to tell you what I'm about, to give you an honest opinion. I don't have to like your decision. But at the end of the day, I have to carry out your decision and execute it with the amount of fervor as if it was my own decision. So you asked me if I want to go left or right. I'm telling you left. I disagree with you. But at the end of the day, if you want me to go right, we're going right. And he goes, we're going right. Okay, done. And because I was never a yes man, I will never be a yes man. It's not in my bloodline to be a yes man. I tell my children, you will never be yes people. But you can disagree with someone. And that general requested me to work for him many years later because he straight up told me, it's like when everyone is like, sure, so yeah, absolutely, you're 100% right, general. He knew that I was going to be the one who's going to go.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why I had a great relationship with him. You know, and that's same thing with my friends. Your real friends are going to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and that's I guess ultimately what you want to surround yourself with is people who are going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not just friends, but you know, other relationships. You know, your marriage, your you know other you know business relationships. You don't want yes men and or women or you know whatever.
It leads to problems down the future.
Yeah, it does. Because then eventually the ugliness will rear its head, right? When if you were the guy who was always cooking, you know, dinners and everything like that, and the food sucked, but everyone said, hey, it's great, you know, thanks so much, I loved it. You're going to keep doing it the same way every single time. And eventually you're going to be like, you know what, this guy sucks. We can go to McDonald's and get something better. And, you know, like, and eventually, and then now all of a sudden you don't have people coming over. And now the ugliness is, eventually the truth is going to come out. I try to tell my kids that as well. Like, you know, the truth is way more valuable. You know, just be honest. Even if you think it might hurt somebody's feelings, be honest. You know,
it hurts a little bit at the beginning, as opposed to hurting more at the. I have an ex girlfriend who is probably one of the sweetest women in the world, and they were parents. And I'll never forget her father's like, "Oh God, my wife is going to make me a chili with she puts chocolate in it. I've been eating this thing for like 30 years, you know, or something like that." And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell her? And he's like, well, because she likes making it for me. I'm like, why didn't you tell her? Because sooner or later, one day, you're going to get mad. You're going to be in a bad mood, and she's going to make it for you. And you're going to be like, I never liked this chocolate. You know, if you would have told her from the beginning, now it's too late. She's been making it for 30 years. 30 years. You should have told her, like, you know, I like it, but next time, don't go. Maybe you can put some heat or onions or take the onions out. Something like that.
Right.
And you can get it because now every time she's trying to make you happy, she's actually pissing you off.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing is that if you said that early on, right, the very first time you had it, or maybe second time, because maybe the first time was, you know what, maybe it was just a little off. But then the second time, hey, you know what, I don't really like this. Okay, fine. All right, cool. We won't make it anymore. But 30 years later, I mean, you probably lost count of how many times you've had it at this point. And now it comes out and it's like, really? I've been making the same crap that I thought you liked all that time, right? So it's right. It's like I kind of didn't like it either, but I thought you liked it.
And my daughter, Braunschweiger, I thought she liked my Braunschweiger because, you know, I used to make it for her pate sandwiches.
Yeah.
Because I thought you liked making it for me. You know, like,
I thought you liked it.
So, yeah. Okay. So awesome. We got a bunch of things like that are going on with you and your story and all that and how you've gotten to where you are. Truth, honesty, that is a huge thing. I think in any business relationship, any relationship really is being truthful with people. Sure. You're going to get some casual acquaintances who just don't give a shit. They're going to say what they're going to say and that's it. But identifying who these people are in your life, like, you know, casual acquaintance. Yeah, sure. We all have those. Real good friends. Yeah. You're going to have a lot fewer of them than the casual acquaintances,
right.
But knowing which group people fit in. And so you put a little more weight into the good friends and what they have to say, right? But as far as, you know, from all of your experiences, if you were mentoring a guy or gal who's about to get out of the military, and looking to go all in into some passion that he has, some thing like you with Scotch, they have this other thing that they are all about. Do you have any advice or, anything that you might tell them before getting into that?
Well, one, I think treat your company or your business like the military, the Marine Corps, the Army, whatever. You have your staff. You're not the smartest guy in the room. If you are the smartest guy in the room, you're a moron. you can do it all, because then the problem is, if you are the smartest guy, you're going to try to do everything yourself and you just can't do it, because you actually might be the smartest guy in the room. So what you need to do is just find other people. The military has spent years trying to create a command or a staff, pyramid hierarchy where people know what to do. Like, you're in charge of logistics, you're in charge of, advertising, you're in charge of this person answers to this person, this person. Treat it like the military. It's not broken, so don't try to fix it. It's what we're used to. That's one. Two, you got to realize you're not dealing with service members anymore. You can't call people up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, unless they are service members, because then they might, if they're your friends, you know, or people that you worked with, you can call them up at 2 a.m. But once you get into the real world, it's not like that. You have a great idea at 2 o'clock in the morning, shut up and send it in the morning, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning. No one's answering. Three, no one is going to take care of your product. No one's going to love your product. No one's going to push your product more than you. That's another one. Four, everyone is going to try to take advantage of you. Everyone wants a piece of your, hey, let me get a free bottle. Hey, I'm going to do an event of it. Can I get a bottle? Look, they want it. So you need to, maybe I'll use it. Maybe if I give this guy a bottle, he's going to an event where it'll be showcased. So you do have to realize there's a give and a take with that.
Right.
Everyone is going to be come up to you like this. If you have a pizzeria, everyone's going to come up to you. Yo, let me get a free slice of pizza. You know, hey, I know, because they're your friends. You know, and you got to let them know. It's like, listen, when you're doing this, when you're coming up to me and asking me for a free slice of pizza, you're taking money out of my pocket.
That's right.
That's the truth. So you need to let your friends know at the beginning, like, it doesn't work that way. You know, we're buddies, we drink beers together, we barbecue together. But at the end of the day, if you're asking me for a free bottle, you know, what's in it for me? To quote Joe Pesci, F you pay me.
Okay.
You know, like, yep, you're like, yep, what's in it for me? You're going to an event and they're going to have, the president of the United States is going to be there. Someone from Diageo is going to be there. Absolutely. Here's a bottle. Here's a case. Drink it, but make sure you showcase it for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But again, remember, no one's going to show your bottle off as much as you are.
Right.
And lastly, this kind of, this is one other thing. If you're getting into something like that, to me, it's a great thing. Because when you have, like, my experience or the average military officer after 20 years, you have a wide, wide range of experience and abilities and skill sets underneath your belt. And because of that, it's so easy for you to stay in the government system, the military system. You can easily, take off the uniform, throw on a business suit, and, make $150,000 a year doing what you did, you know, with less drama.
Yeah.
But what about those dreams you had when you were younger? You know, that's the big one. It's so easy. It's so enticing for me to stay in the system and do something with armored vehicles or planning or something along those lines. But, you know, I wanted to be a chef, you know? Maybe I wanted to be an artist, a sculptor, you know, something along those lines. But at the end of the day, follow your dream. Follow that childhood dream, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Following your dream, following your passion. And the other thing that you said too is, guard what's yours, right? And I don't think you said it in that many, in those exact words, but, when someone asks you for a free product or whatever, they got to understand that that wasn't free to you. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, sure. Maybe you're not paying, retail price for it, but still, it wasn't free. That's still money out of your pocket. That's your inventory. That's your product. That's like somebody else is willing to hand over cash to get that product from you. And if they're not, then that's kind of screwed up, right?
Well, like, yeah, well, even like with my bottles go for about $40. Okay. It doesn't cost me $40 to make it, but you know, it's so hard. So every time I give away a bottle, you're not losing the amount of money that you would have, you know, that it costs you to make. You're potentially losing $40 of a sale.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And like, that's like, okay, here's just $40. So when a person's asking you for a slice of pizza, you're giving them $3, $4, $5, whatever slice of pizza costs. You're literally giving the guy $5.
Yeah.
You know, or you're giving him $40 for the scotch. You're giving him your, that's what it is. And they have to realize, and when you don't do it, you're all of a sudden, oh, you know, this guy is making all this money and stuff like that. I'm not driving a Lamborghini.
That's right. Yeah. And that's the other thing too, that I don't think a lot of people realize is like when you're running your own business, all that falls on you. And if you're not doing, you know, making smart business decisions, you're not going to end up being that top dog, you know, yeah. Like you see in the, you know, social media, everyone, you know, happens to think that's like, you know, what everybody who's running their own business is doing. It's like, that's not true. Yeah. I mean, you could be making $0 and still have a business, you know, if you're not selling anything, you still got a business, but yeah. It doesn't mean you're rolling in it. Right. So, you know, the best ways that your friends and family and other people can support you is by buying the damn product. Right. but also, you know, if they're going to, you know, some sort of event and they can showcase your product, you know, but got to be smart about it too. And yeah. I think that's important. You know, and that great idea that you said, you know, if it's 2 a.m, you got a great idea and you're about to call somebody up and let them know about it at 2 a.m, chances are in most civilian jobs, nobody's going to want to hear. Even if they're a veteran, they're probably not like, dude, it's 2 a.m. Could this wait?
Yeah.
You know, this could have been an email. Right. But, exactly. But you know, it's still going to be a great idea in the morning at 9 o'clock, you know, just wait 7 hours. You'll be good to go. It'll still be a great, great idea then. Right.
I do send out the email still. And I go, sure. But I always say like, hey, I'm not expecting an answer till Monday, you know, or whatever like that. I know you're not going to open it, but I've also had this speech with them several times,
right.
You know, like, hey, you know, this is a great idea, but it's a weekend. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk about it on Monday.
100%. Yeah. And you know, the way you take care of your people who are on your team, they're going to take care of you too. So I think that's important to point out as well. Before we wrap up though, I want you to give an opportunity to talk about the company where people can buy the scotch and, you know, find out more information about your company and, you know, kind of where the products are.
Yeah. You can find us online. That's number one. It's at www.eorscotch.com. That's Fox India Oscar Romeo Scotch. And this is what my beautiful little bottle looks like. You know,
nice.
Nice and shiny, sparkly, you know. So you can get it there for online sales. They also do, if they also have the option to engrave a bottle. That okay. is absolutely beautiful. We've done it with, you know, Eagle Golden Anchor or the Army symbol, the Navy symbol, the unit symbol, you know, third cat, all and your names on the side. They look absolutely beautiful.
Cool.
So you can get it there. Also, you can get it in like, we're available in New York, New Jersey area. We're available in Washington, D.C. We're going to be available in Maryland, Georgia, South Carolina. We're available in Florida right now. So you know, different, you know, stores, you know, we'll be available in Total Wines in Florida. But, you know, I think we're also Total Wines in New York. So we're at some of the larger distributors.
Excellent.
The larger sales stores, liquor stores.
Yep, absolutely. So I'll put the link to the website on there and you know, folks can either check it out online or, you know, if they're in those local areas, they can check it out in stores as well. But we'll definitely help push some of that scotch and you know, hopefully if that's what someone's, you know, interested in getting. And especially I would imagine it would be great, you know, with the engraving option that you were talking about.
It's beautiful.
Great for, you know, maybe a retirement, you know, gift or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that, change of command, all those kinds of things, you know, especially coming from a veteran-owned company, you know, what better way to keep that stuff going, you know,
and for those people out there, like, I try to keep this, you know, like, you know, obviously very, very veteran.
Yeah.
And I tell people, hey, if you have I bump into people in the streets, I'm like, hey, here's my email address, Eric D, ericd@eorscotch.com. Let me know what you think about it. You know, that's I created this not only for me, I created this for my friends, my family. You know, I created for everyone who tried it. I am not the kind of person who's going to put a product out there that I'm not proud of. Sure. And if you look at the bottles, the first generation bottles compared to the second generation bottles, my second gen bottles have my signature, my Herbie Hancock, on the back because I wasn't sure once it got mass produced if it was going to taste the way I wanted it to.
Right.
So I was really worried with the first gen bottles, not realizing it's a formula. Three parts this, two parts, it's going to taste. So the second gen actually have my name on the back. So I stand behind my product. I'm very, very proud of it. And for anyone who knows me, they know I will not serve something that I am not proud of.
Excellent. Well, we'll put, like I said, we'll put that link out there on the website in the show notes. We'll get some people headed your way. So, Eric, it's really been a pleasure, chatting with you, learning a little bit about your background and your experiences. And thank you for, coming on and sharing your story. Thank you for your service and, your ongoing, work, trying to do great things and making veteran businesses, stand out and be really great. So I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Yeah, much appreciated. It was great to be here.